If you turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans that we read together. The book of Romans and the chapter 4, I want to speak on the subject, an unshakable faith. An unshakable faith. Really, the faith of Abraham here is brought before us in this passage. In verse 20, it said of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let's just look to the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we pray that thy Lord would bless us around thy word. We certainly need our faith strengthened, every one of us. For sometimes, Lord, we can get weak in our faith. But we pray you'll make us strong. And you'll strengthen all hearts, even in this congregation this morning. And we pray that will pour out thy Spirit upon us and help us to preach the word you've laid upon our heart. And Lord, bless it to all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great themes here of this epistle of Romans is that man is saved. Saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The truth of justification by faith is therefore at the very heart of this book. And that's why you'll read in Romans 1 and verse 17 those tremendous words, the just shall live by faith. Remember Martin Luther, a Romanist in darkness, seeking to find a way of salvation, and he came across that text. His eyes was opened. His heart was opened. He saw it all. Believing in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It is not your works. It is not your deeds. It is not your religion. It is not your church. It is not your chapel. It's Christ and Christ alone. And I want to say to the congregation here this morning, that's the same truth of the Bible. That's the same message from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Abraham believed and was saved. The Bible tells us there in verse 28 in Romans 3. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's not 50-50. It's not 75% me holding and resting on Jesus Christ and 25% of my works, my prayers, my church attendance. But it's 100% in Jesus Christ. Paul here writing to this church, he's bringing out this tremendous truth. A person is saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're ever going to be saved, you must believe in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You must trust the one who died upon the cross with all of your heart, and then you too will be saved. Abraham was one such man. Apostle Paul, to illustrate this great truth, he brings before us two men in this passage. He brings David, the man of God, here in this passage, in verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And he also tells us there about Abraham in verse 3. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And to back up his argument, he brings these two men, two giants of the faith. There's David, of course, that man of God. Then, of course, there is Abraham. He believed, and he was saved. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham is the father of the faith. Not only was he saved by faith, Abraham, of course, he walked by faith. His spiritual muscles had to be developed. He had to be put to the test. Faith's all right when the sun is shining and everything's going well. When dark cloud comes and when there's perhaps a delay in the word of God coming to your heart, then you're tested. Then the devil will throw doubts upon that person. The devil will fill God's people's hearts even full of fears. Abraham had his battles. He had his belief. He had his testings. He had to wait on the promise of a son being born. And here the apostle Paul here brings this lesson before us. while he was waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. For God had said to him, he would give him a son. And it tells us here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at this promise. He was strong. He believed. He waited. And he trusted in the Lord. Every child of God, that's how we are to live ourselves. That's how I am to live. That's how you are to walk with God. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We sing that tremendous hymn, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. We believe that. But we've also got to believe the Lord in times of trouble, times of testing. Give us a faith that Abram displayed here. I want you to notice about his faith here, the ground of his faith. And you will see the ground of his faith is very plainly put for us there. It talks in verse 20, the promise of God. In verse 18 it says, according to that which was spoken. Here was the ground of Abraham, this man of God. What was the ground of his faith? What was the basis of his faith? We can ask the question, what was he depending on as he lived a Christian life? Well, there was only one thing he had. He had the promise of God, that which was spoken to him by the God of heaven. That was the ground of it. That's what he was depending upon. Indeed, five times in this passage you read about the promise. In verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world. Verse 14, at the end, and the promise made of none effect. Verse 16, the promise might be sure to all. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. Verse 21, what he had promised. Five times in this passage, it tells us about the promise. All he had was the word of the living God. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to his heart. God gave him a promise. Abraham, you're going to have a son. He believed the promise. He believed that promise. And you can go through and you'll find about the revealing of that promise to him. Over there in the book of Genesis, the Lord revealed it to him in chapter 12 and the verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, on the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And God is coming here personally to the heart of Abraham, this man, saved from idolatry, saved from heathenism. God says to Abraham, I will make thee a blessing. I will make a great nation of thee. Thou shalt have a great seed, more than all even the stars is in the sky. Thou shalt have a son. God is promising him this. God is coming and revealing this promise even unto Abraham's heart. I will make of thee a great nation. Thou shalt have a great seed. At this particular time, he didn't even have a child. Not even one son. And you can see God coming to him at this particular time and making such a promise and giving this man such a word. In fact, the repeating of the promise is found over in Genesis 15 and verse 4. God is coming again and telling him and reassuring him, giving him his word, thou shalt have a son. And then we have the resting upon the promise. God spoke. Abraham believed. God gave the promise. Abraham accepted the promise. God gave the word to the heart of this man. Thou shalt have a son. He believed it. He believed what God has said. The ground of his faith was the promise of the word of God. In verse 3 it tells us, Abram believed God. Notice that little words. Those three words. Abram believed God. He was not trusting any man. He was not trusting any visions, any dreams. He was trusting what God had said. God came to the heart of this man. God made the promise. Abram believed it. God has said it. That which God had spoken. He believed God. In the matter of his separation, when God told him to leave his father's house. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. But it was enough for this man that God told him. He believed in the matter of a separation, in the matter of salvation. He believed in the promised seed, which was Jesus Christ. He believed also in the promise to do with his son. You see, he says, I believe God. This was the ground of his faith. He was resting here on the promise. It talks here about the promise of God. God had spoken. And Abram says, I believe God. And you will find that the ground of our faith is to be what? The word of the living God. Nothing else. I can say today, as a preacher of this book, we need nothing else. It is not dreams. It is not visions that people talk about today. It is not foolish notions that people will bring before us. What can I trust today as I live in this dark and sinful world, when trials comes and troubles comes to the hearts of every one of God's people? What can I depend upon? We have only one thing. It is the Word of God. That's all we have. It is all that we need. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here is the ground of faith for God's people. What is that? It is the promise of God. The foundation of his word is all we're standing on. That's why we were singing that hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. That's all we have. That's all I have. And every child of God, I can say to you this morning, it is all that you need. It's God's word. The many promises he has given to us. What about our salvation? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us. His word is truth. He is truth. He says, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised to save his people from their sins. He has promised to take away their sins. He has promised to give them eternal life. He has promised to take us to heaven. That's his promise. That's the ground of our faith. It's the Bible. How do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm forgiven? How do I know, child of God, that I'm on my way to heaven? I have the promise. And the promise of this book. The promised words of Jesus Christ. That he would save you. Maybe you have doubts and fears about your salvation, because you'll get them. And the devil will see to that, child of God, in this meeting. And perhaps he's attacking your faith this morning. Remember, your faith is based not on how you feel. It's on the promise. It's on the word of the living God. God has said it. I believe it. Abraham believed God. That's what you've got to do. Believe the Bible. He's made promises about our supply. In Philippians 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Here's our promises. Here are promises to God's people. All your need, whatever that may be. You may be going through a difficult time financially at this particular time, and you're wondering how or where it's going to all end up. Well, we have the promise. All we have is this book. All we have is the word of the Lord. My God shall supply all your need. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. I'm glad I can trust this promise. When difficult time comes, child of God, you can believe God. Put yourself on the promise. Stand on this promise. Are you weak? Are you fearful? Do you need strength? Do you feel feeble, perhaps, in the congregation this morning? You've got the promise. Think of that great promise in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thy not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And here's God coming to his people. And he's saying them, don't be fearing. I will be with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. What have they got, those people, in all of their difficulties? They have the promise. They have the promise of God. And child of God, you've got the promise. You have got this promise to your own heart today in this house. God will be with you. God will strengthen you. God will uphold you. That's the promise. I don't care what clouds has darkened your heart, your life at this time. You have the promise above the clouds. You see, the ground of His promise, the promise of God, the Word of God, about His presence. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's not the promise of a preacher. That's not the promise from any prophet. This is a promise from Christ. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is the ground of our faith. The promise of God. The Word of the Lord. It is, we need nothing else. We have nothing else. It's got the Bible. Abram believed God. This was the ground of his faith. The promise. And you think five times the promise. In verse 18, as I have said, that which was spoken, what had come from the very lips of God Himself, and God gave the promise. He stood on it. And oh, child of God, you and I are standing on this book. We're standing on God's Word. We're depending upon this book. 100% for our soul, for our every need, we depend on this book. That's the ground of his faith here in verse 20. The promise of God. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you have the Bible? Aren't you glad you can turn to the Bible? And I would say to every child of God, underline the promise of God in the Bible. Take a wee note of them. Because sometimes you'll need them. Sometimes you'll get fearful. Sometimes you'll get sick and weary. And you need a bit of medicine. Well, there's nothing like the promise of God to go to God's Word and read them. And it'll get you back on your feet and get a bit of fire into your heart again for the Lord. This was the ground of his faith. The promise of God. But then I want to speak secondly about the greatness of his faith. Because you'll see that in verse 20, it says here, but was strong in faith, so it was a great faith. Not weak, but strong in faith, you see. Now his greatness of his faith is seen here in his hope. You see in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. It seemed impossible that a child would be born to Abram and Sarah at this particular time. The whole case seemed hopeless. He was now an old man. She was now an old woman. It was against all hope. Against all sight. Against all reason. It was against all nature that such a thing would happen in his household, that Sarah now would have a son. But he believes it would happen. And that's a tremendous faith. But he now was getting old, and he was old. And his wife was now old, and the years had went on. It talks here about who against hope believed in hope. The whole thing seemed hopeless. And yet he believed. And that's a great faith. When you're in a hopeless situation, believe in hope. That's what Abraham did. That's why I said to you here about the greatness of this faith of this man. He believed in hope. We see such faith even demonstrated over there with young David when he came before Goliath. It seemed hopeless. He was only a young lad. Goliath was a giant of a man, about 9 feet, 9 inches high. There seemed no hope for this young fellow to go out to fight Goliath. How could it be done? How could he take on this warrior of the Philistines? He did it all by faith. He trusted God with all of his heart. In verse 45, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of whom thou hast defied. He tells him plainly, I come to thee. What? In my name? No, not David's name. Not in David's strength. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord. He was trusting Christ. He was trusting the Lord. We see the greatness of his faith. He was depending upon the Lord in this hopeless situation, humanly speaking. It has been said, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. I say to you, child of God, do you feel you're in a hopeless situation? At this particular moment in your life, wherever you are in your life, can I say this to you? You may be in a hopeless situation, but trust the Lord. You may feel there's no hope. There's no light at the end of a tunnel for me. But great faith believes in hope. In hopeless situations. This is what Abraham did here. It tells us he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Even with the hope, it shows us here, he had a strong faith. We've all heard the story of George Mueller when he was making a journey one time. It seemed, of course, that he wasn't able to do this because of fog. Fog had come down. The captain said, I've done all I can to get you to Quebec. Well, Mueller says, well, only one thing you haven't done, we haven't prayed. And went down into a little room, and he prayed a very simple prayer. God, who controls everything, take away the fog. The old captain laughed at him. He was going to pray himself, and Mueller says, don't you bother praying, for you don't believe that God will do it. But I believe he has. And they went up onto the deck, and sure enough, the fog had lifted. A hopeless situation. This man got on his knees and he looked to the God of heaven and he says, Lord, take away the fog. Take away the fog, Lord. Take it away. And he took it away because he believed in hope. The greatness of his faith when there was no hope. Abraham believed. Do the same. Do this. That's what faith is. Faith in the night. As well as the day. You see, the greatness is seen here of his faith and his hope. The greatness is also can be found in his health. You look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith. I did say it was a strong faith. He was not weak in the faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And this verse speaks about two things. It speaks about dead. And it speaks about deadness. Abram considered not his own body now dead, nor did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 at this time. She had been barren all her life, but he believed. He believed God could give this woman, at 90 years old, a child. And I want to suggest to you, that's great faith. That's great faith. But all around this man, humanly speaking, was deadness. Not only hopelessness, as I said earlier on, but deadness. It was against all reason. It was against all nature that his wife now would have a child. He believed she would. And that's great faith. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. And there's a big difference, isn't it? Sometimes we all say, oh, I believe God can do this and God can do that, but do you believe he will do it? That's a different story altogether. As you said to Abraham, I believe God could give your wife a child if he wanted to, but he says, I believe he will. I believe he will. God has spoken. He had given me a promise. It is many years since that promise. I have no doubt about this. There's been a great delay. But I believe that I will have a son. Some of us would have laughed at him. If I met somebody at 90 years around the doors and they said to me, I'm going to have a child someday, I probably would laugh at her. An old man, an old woman. But the greatness of his faith, you see, it is found here even in his health. Dead and deadness. Oh, child of God, sometimes we feel there's a deadness, do we not? Maybe you've been praying that people might be saved, the children that you love, family members who are dead in trespasses and sin. As you listen to them, as you look at them, all you see is this deadness. Well, do you believe God can save them? Do you believe He can save them? Do you believe He will save them? Even this deadness, we can have this faith. Deadness in the church today. We need revival. Even personally, in all of our hearts, we need the breath of God. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. And how we listen to people who were in the early days of our church, and there were great meetings and great gospel campaigns, and they were coming to the church and they were expecting people to be saved, and they were wondering who is going to be saved in the meeting tonight, who is going to come up the aisle, who's going to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, all those things have changed today. There seems to be a hardness, there seems to be a deadness. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Never lose faith in the Bible. Never lose faith in Christ. Never lose faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see. Abraham believed. He considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old. Now the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, I did say it was a great faith. Tim said to his wife, "You'll have your child." She could have maybe said, "Well, it's been many, many years. It may be many years, but God has said you'll have the child." She was now 90. But he still believed. That's a great faith. His great faith is also found in his holding. Because look at verse 20. He staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know what that word stagger means? It means to waver. He was strong in the faith. In verse 21, being fully persuaded, he was able to perform. He was holding on to with all of his heart. He staggered not. He never wavered. He never doubted here at all. He's holding on to the promise of God, you see. Here's the greatness of his faith. And his son Isaac was born. And he got his son. And he saw the fulfilling of the promise. Because he held on to the promise. Can I say that the Lord would give all of us the faith of Abraham? A faith that never wavers. And sometimes, you know, child of God, what it's like, we're up and down. We're like yo-yo sometimes. We have our doubts, we have our fears. But sometimes we feel so weak in the faith. Then there are times we feel so strong in the faith. Abraham was strong. The greatness of his faith. He staggered not the promise of God. He held up the promise. He would have prayed about the promise. He was standing on the promise, even in hard times. God has said this. I trust Him. I trust Him. Oh, child of God, trust the Lord today with all of your heart. He's a God of impossibilities. He can do these things. When it seems so hopeless, keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Because here we have a man, and he shows about the greatness of his faith, that he staggered not at the promise of God. He was not weak in faith. He believed God despite reason. Despite the circumstances. He depended upon the word of the living God. But you and I do the same. You and I stand on the promises. Depend on this book. It's all we need. It's all we have got. It is the word of Christ to our hearts today. Let's depend upon His word. And let's stand on it. And can I say about the glory of His faith? Because in verse 20 it says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. A thing that's easily overlooked in the faith of Abraham is this. Is the glory of God. How we can look at Abraham, what a man, that he had such a faith. That he had such patience. That he waited all those years on the birth of Isaac, his promised son. But yet, we were brought before us here in this verse, the glory of God. Abram had faith, and there's no doubt about this, and he staggered not, and he was resting on the promises. But God was glorified by that faith. the faith of Abraham. The faith that he displayed, God was glorified. God's truth was glorified. God kept his word. He had promised a son to Abraham. And despite the delays, and despite the difficulties, God kept his word. And the Bible tells me about the Lord in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. And notice those words. He's the God that cannot lie. And he said to Abraham, thy wife shall have a son, thou shall have a promised seed. God cannot lie. I suggest to you, his truth was glorified. When Abraham got his child, when he lifted up that little child, Isaac, into his arms and held that little child in his bosom, God was glorified. His truth, his faithfulness was glorified. The Bible says of the Lord in Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. And the Bible tells us here that the Lord, he's a faithful God. He is faithful. And his faithfulness here to the promise, to Abraham, to Sarah, was fulfilled when he got his son. God was glorified. God was glorified. His faithfulness. See, as Spurgeon said, it glorifies God greatly for servants to trust him. And I would suggest to you, child of God, glorify the Lord. You'll find he is faithful. You will find the Lord will not fail his people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You'll find that with our Father in heaven, he is a faithful God. He will never fail his people. And his faithfulness was glorified here in this faith. What about his power? It was glorified as well. Who else could do this? Take him to the best doctors around at that time, or even anyone in this day of advancement in medical work. Who could do this? A woman at 90 and a man near 100 to have a child. I suggest to you it was impossible. But not with God. Not with the God of heaven. Over in Hebrews 11 and verse 11 it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Supernaturally, God came to both of them and revived their bodies. And she had this faith to receive, to conceive, and to have a child. You see, the very power of God is found here, glorified in the faith of Abraham. Only God could do such a thing, you see. And the power of God was glorified in the faith of Abraham. That's the sort of faith I want, child of God. That's the sort of faith we want in the church of Jesus Christ. A faith that believes God. A faith that trusts God. A faith whereby the Lord himself will be glorified. Remember the Lord said to that woman in Matthew 15 verse 28, O great is thy faith. I suggest to you and say to you, believe God. Trust him. Despite the circumstances, despite the trials, despite the very case seems hopeless, believe God and you'll find the power of God will be glorified in your faith. Keep on believing. We sing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Faith in the day, night, as well as the day. We have here an unshakable faith. He believed God. He staggered not to the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Keep on believing, child of God. God has spoken to your heart, perhaps personally about things. Then you believe the promise. He has certainly spoken generally to us. Then depend upon that faith. Because I said just to the unsaved, you have the promise for you in the Bible as well. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. the way you are today in your sin. He said, I've rejected Christ for years. I've turned my back on the Lord Jesus. I've been deep into sin. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you repent and call upon his name? Then you can start out where Abraham started. He believed God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this very day, and thou shalt be saved. Trust him with all of your heart today, and he will save you. May the Lord write his word upon all of our hearts and encourage God's people to keep on believing and give us the faith of Abraham. Let's look to the Lord in closing. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word. We pray that it's been a comfort to your people. We pray you'll give us an unshakable faith, that Abraham may stagger not at the promise of God. Lord, he just held on to that promise. We're glad that we are a people who has the promise of God contained in thy word. And we pray that we'll believe them and we'll stand upon them. And Lord, we will rejoice in the promise of God. For what the Lord has said, he will surely fulfill. So bless this truth to all of our hearts. Take us our separate ways and manage our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.